we have been exploring Jesus and different aspects of him. And our title has been, Hello, My Name is Jesus. And my assigned topic for today is, Hello, My Name is Jesus, and I am a force to be reckoned with. I love that title. Let's go ahead and start with what a force is, what the definition of force is. I found definitions that say that it's a physical power or strength possessed by a living being. Strength or power exerted on an object. Strength, energy, power, intensity. Power to influence, to affect. Mental or moral strength, might, as of a ruler or realm. In physics, force is an influence on a body or system producing or tending to produce a change in movement or in shape or in other effects. And then we have to deal with the part, we know what a force is, but what does it mean to be something that is to be reckoned with? It's to include in consideration and planning. It's to anticipate. So I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about Jesus as a force to be reckoned with, my mind goes right to Jesus cleansing the temple. And so we're going to explore that a little bit today. But to get there, we have to understand what Jesus was doing there. So we're actually going to go back because we know in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when Jesus is going to the temple at the point in time when he sees what's happening with the money changers and he's going to cleanse the temple. This is happening because he is there for Pentecost, or he is there for the Passover. So let's look at the initial Passover and what happened there. And we're going to see aspects of Jesus as a force to be reckoned with. So we start in the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, God tells Moses to go ahead and to tell the congregation that on the 10th day of the month, they are to take a lamb or young goat for themselves, according to the size of the household of which he is the father, a lamb or a young goat for each household. He says if the household is too small to be able to consume a whole lamb, then to partner up with the neighbors so that the whole lamb can be eaten that night. And it describes the lamb. The lamb or young goat shall be perfect, without blemish or bodily defect. A male, a year old, or you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then assemble all of the congregation of Israel to slaughter it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood, and they should put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel which is above the door of the houses in which they will eat it. They told them to eat the meat the same night, to roast in fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. We can start seeing in that initial Passover, we can start seeing Jesus. And Jesus is a force. The night they were supposed to eat all of the meat that night. Because God knew that the next morning they needed to be ready for a journey. They knew that the whole lamb needed to be consumed. Nothing was to be wasted. Our Passover lamb still wastes nothing. They were supposed to eat it with unleavened bread. Throughout Scripture, leaven is a symbol for sin. And so they were supposed to eat it without, they're supposed to eat it with the unleavened bread. And even today, when Jewish people do their Passover meal, they do it with unleavened bread. And at one point, they take the piece of bread that represents Jesus, and they break it, and they hide it. And they go searching to find the broken bread. This idea of unleavened bread and sin not being found is still absolutely relevant and pertinent today. We'll get back to that. You're also supposed to take it with the bitter herb. The bitter herb was supposed to remind them of the bitterness of slavery. We need to be careful even today that we recognize what is holding us in slavery and what freedom is supposed to look like. So they were supposed to eat the bread, eat the Passover meal that night. But there were very specific instructions. They were supposed to eat it standing. They were supposed to eat it with their loins girded, that garments tucked inside of their bands, sandals on their feet, the staff in their hand. They were supposed to be ready to leave bondage and go to the place of slavery or of freedom. They were supposed to be ready. In those days, you did not get to sit at the table unless you were free. And at this point, they still weren't free. They were in bondage. And so they had to eat that meal ready for their freedom to come. And in verse 12, it talks about how that the Lord is going to pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and he will strike down the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both of man and of animals. But the blood that was put over the door was going to be a sign that that family was not going to be impacted or affected by this particular plague. They weren't going to lose their firstborn. It says on verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the doorposts of the house where you live. When I see the blood, I shall pass over you, and no affliction shall happen to you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. We know that the blood is very important. When Jesus was taking the Last Supper with his disciples, he said that the blood represented a new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 describes what this covenant is. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And each man no longer will teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me through personal experience, the Amplified says. From the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no longer. This new covenant that he made with us put his commands right within our hearts, and it allows us to know him from personal experience. We get to be his people, and he gets to be our God. And then it goes on in Exodus to say that they are to remember this. They are to do this to commemorate the ordinance and to celebrate for generations to come. Verse 15, in the celebration of the Passover in future years, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove the leaven from your house because it represents the spread of sin. For whoever eats leavened bread on the first day through the seventh day, that person shall be cut off and excluded from the atonement made for Israel. And then the plague happened. And the firstborn died in house after house after house where the blood was not put. And then Pharaoh, in verse 31, called for Aaron and Moses at night and said, get up. Get out from among my people, both you and the Israelites, and go serve the Lord, as you said. Freedom had finally come. Pharaoh had said, okay, here you go. I release you to go. And verse 36, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked. And so they plundered the Egyptians of those things. The children of Israel were not meant to leave bondage empty-handed. Back when Moses encountered the God in the burning bush, it was said that he would told Moses that they would not leave empty-handed, that he would leave with goods. And this was the fulfillment of that. They got to take these goods from Egypt on their journey. So in following the command that was given, to participate and to celebrate Passover. In Jesus' day, he walked into the temple at Passover. He walked in as that perfect Passover lamb. We know that what God did to bring people out of Egypt shows that he is a force for freedom. We learned about last week that Jesus is free, and he is also a force. He is a power of freedom. He is a force of freedom. He is also a force of favor. The Egyptians that kept them in bondage said, "Here's our goods, take them and go." God had arranged for them to be able to leave with that type of favor and that type of provision. And now Jesus walks into the temple at Passover to find that was supposed to be so holy and a celebration of what he had done, what God had done at the initial Passover, was now being used by the money changers and by the people as a way to get rich. They were selling the oxen and the goat that were needed for the sacrifice. They were selling them for exorbitant prices. They were taking the fact that the people had to pay an amount to the temple to be able to access the temple. And because they were trying to change money, they were doing it unfairly, so it was costing way more. The freedom and the provision and the favor that had been evident when it came to that first Passover, now on this Passover, as he walks into the temple, is not evident. It's being taken advantage of. And it enrages him, because this wasn't what Passover was about. This wasn't about celebrating freedom. This wasn't about making ways for provision for them to be able to worship freely. This wasn't about the favor, the fairness of what was supposed to be there from the initial Passover wasn't evident, as people were exploiting others, as there was injustice there. Back in the initial Passover, it talked about God talked about the new covenant. In Jeremiah 31:31, he talked about the rich and the poor. And here we see in the temple that the ones that would have been able to afford the oxen and the ones that would have been able to afford the goat, that they were charging too much. And the ones, the birds that were there for the poor, they were charging too much. They were inhibited from being able to do what they were commanded to do and celebrate the Passover the way that they were commanded to celebrate the Passover. So God comes in, Jesus comes in, and he sees this. He turns over the tables, and he drives them out, and he pushes over the chairs of the money changers. He's not having this on the Passover in his temple. Bible says in Matthew that after this, that the blind and the lame came to Jesus, and he was healing them in the temple on that day, and that people started to give him praise, and that the chief priest couldn't handle this, and at that point they started to plot to kill him. It's interesting how Passover back in Exodus required that they go and they search and they remove all leaven from their house. All leaven, all sin needed to be removed from the house. All leaven, so that the Passover could happen the way that it was supposed to. And here Jesus walks into the temple and he clears out the sin that's happening there. Says, "Not in my temple," and clears it out. Jesus cleared it out. He was a force for fairness and for justice for us. We see Jesus so moved in this. and such a force to be reckoned with in this, because he wanted justice for his kids, because his kids needed to be able to do what they were commanded to do and not be taken care of. He was a force for us. In what he did in the temple, in his death, in his resurrection, he is a force to be reckoned with for us. This is what he does for us, even when we don't always see it. Even on the eve of a plague, even when there's been plagues and other things are happening, he is still at work. He is a force to be reckoned with for us, on our behalf, whether we recognize it or don't recognize it. Whether we see it or not yet, he is a force for us. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually? God is not just a force for us. He is a force in us. We are the temple that he resides in. We are the temple now that needs to look around and make sure that there's not leaven in this temple, that there's not injustice in this temple. We need to allow him to search and make sure that our hearts are pure. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your boasting over the supposed spirituality of your church is not good. Indeed, it is vulgar and inappropriate. Do you not know that just a little leaven ferments the whole batch of dough, just as little sin corrupts a person or an entire church? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new batch, just as you are, still unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Listen, no more do we have to eat the Passover standing up in bondage, just waiting for the word to be able to go to freedom. Now, and you saw even with Jesus when he was doing the final supper with his disciples, they were leaning back, they were relaxing. When Jewish people now do the Passover meal, they're sitting and there's pillows behind them. We are now in freedom. No longer do we have to stand as if we're not free. Now we get to walk in freedom. But we need to make sure as we do that, that the leaven isn't inside of us. That our temple is free from leaven. Let Jesus be a force to be reckoned with within you. Let him bring healing to those areas that need healing, where sin or where woundedness has happened. Let him come bring healing to that area. He did it in the temple as he went on the day of Passover, and now his heart's desire is to do it within us, to do that type of cleansing and that type of healing like he did right in the aftermath. Kids are coming to him. The blind, the lame are coming, and he's healing them right in the midst of all of this. And so let him do that in your heart. He is a force to be reckoned with in us. He is a power to be anticipated. If you remember what reckoned with means, we should anticipate him working within us to bring healing on some of the most concerning of times in our lives. He is a force to be reckoned with within us. Mark chapter 11, verse 21. This is after he has left the temple and he begins to go, same day. He had previously cursed a fig tree. And Peter sees that the fig tree that Jesus cursed is now all withered. And he asks about it. And Jesus says in verse 22, Jesus replies, "Have faith in God constantly. I assure you the most and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he said is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask or pray in accordance with God's will, believe with confidence. Trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. So he is a force for us. And he is a force within us. But he also wants to be a force with us. He loves to do things with us. He loves the collaboration with his kids. We get to be co-heirs with Christ. We literally become his family. We literally become his brothers and his sisters. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are no longer slaves, but now we are children of God. God made us an heir. Jesus said that he will be with us always. He said that things that we've seen him do, we will do greater things, because he goes to the Father and he is with us. He not only wants to be a force to be reckoned with within us, he wants to partner with us so that we can be a force with him to be reckoned with in our generation and in our families and in our community. He wants us to partner with him to help bring people out of that place of slavery into the place of freedom, knowing their Passover lamb, knowing him, having him inside that new covenant that says that we can literally experience him. Jesus is a force to be reckoned with. He is a power. He is an authority to be considered, to plan for, to anticipate. And he does this for us, but he does this right within us. And then he says, let's go do this together. He is a force for us, in us, and with us. And if you don't know Jesus that way, got a wonderful opportunity right now. Jeremiah 31:31 said that he was going to come and we were going to get to be his people. He was going to be our God. He was going to write his commands inside of us, and that we would know him, that we could experience him. If you don't know him, you have an amazing opportunity. We're going to pray, and I want you to pray right where you are in your living room. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to let us know so that we can help walk this with you, celebrate with you, and support with you. So, Jesus, right now, God, I ask you, fill every environment where this message is being played. Father, I pray that you would just lean in close by those who don't know you yet. May in this moment they feel your presence. And you can simply say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for relationship with me. Turn away from the sin, the unbelief, and I recognize that you are a God that I can have a personal encounter and experience with. And that's the God that I want to serve. That's the God I want to partner with. That's the God I want to get to know in an intimate relationship. To know your thought processes and your ways. Jesus, come do life in me and with me. If you prayed that, text Jesus to 619-464-3077 and let us know. Just text the word Jesus so that we can celebrate with you and we can connect you so that we can transition from recognizing that he's just in us to the fact that he is absolutely with us. We're going to end with this. If you have recognized that there are areas of your life where maybe you've been a little bit on a pause because you haven't known which direction to go, you haven't known exactly what it is that you're supposed to do, you need to understand that Jesus is with you. That as you go and as you're making decisions and as you're trying to determine which way you go and what you do, he is literally with you and guiding you. He has made you a force to be reckoned with, a force for freedom, a force for favor, a force for fairness and justice. And we get to partner with Jesus to do that. Would you spend some time this week praying and asking God what your specific partnership with him should look like? And then start. And then start. Take a new step. Take one new step in the direction of what he wants to do with you this week. And then share some of the testimonies of what happens with that. Let us know. We want to be able to celebrate with you and see what God's doing in your life, even in the midst of this season, perhaps especially in the midst of this season.